Hallelujah, Christ is risen. The grace of the risen Lord be with you. I caught you without looking at your bulletin, didn't I? You didn't quite know what to say. Now you can look at it and see. I am so glad to see all of you here, some of you returning for visits, and just so great to see everyone here on this beautiful Easter Sunday. Invite you to sign the Friendship Register, the booklet you should find the inside aisle of your pew. If you'll pass it down, make sure everyone gets the chance to sign it. If you are visiting with us, we want you to feel a warm welcome here, and we invite you to give us your name and address so we can give you a word of welcome to our church. We're glad to see you today. Take note of the announcements in your bulletin today. We'll start with the inserts. There's an insert about the one great hour of sharing offering that we receive on Easter Sunday, and that the children, we gave them banks to be collecting money during Lent. There's also an envelope if you'd like to use that for your one great hour sharing offering. Also, there's an insert about our next gym night coming up on April the 4th. Hard to believe it, but that's this Wednesday. We'll be having our next meal. This is open to everybody. We just need you to sign up, and this is the last day for you to sign up, so you can sign that up and put it in the offering plate. Notice that on April 15th, in 2 weeks, we'll be having a special Mission Sunday. What that means is that during worship, we're going to be collecting items and making blessing bags so that we can give them out to people in the community. So to participate in this, we need you to either purchase some of these items and bring them with you on April 15th, or if you want to purchase them in advance and bring them on a Sunday or during the week, we have a collection box in the narthex and one outside the library in the hallway. Or if you don't want to go to the trouble of shopping and just want to give money, someone else will, the evangelism committee will purchase these items for you. So you can just write a check and put on the memo line, blessing bags. Then at 3 o'clock on April 15th, we will be packing 10,000 meals in 90 minutes with the Rise Against Hunger program. We'd love to have you come. It's a very fun event. Dress casually. Come to the fellowship hall. About 3 o'clock, we'll get started. If you can sign up in advance, you see the website there, that would be great. If you can't, that's okay. You can still come. Just come at 3 o'clock on that Sunday afternoon. You see all the names for the Easter lilies. So beautiful to have them around and in the cross. Thank you so much to all of you who gave in memory or honor of someone or to the glory of God. And, of course, you can, if you'd like, you can take your lily home after worship today. Look on the back of your bulletin. During the season of Lent, we have been working together on a mission project to help fund Global Outreach Mission, Keith and Karen Dodson's work there, as well as locally our backpack food program, where now we are feeding 59 children and youth in local schools in the area. And thus far, through last Sunday, you have given $2,955 to this project. We thank you for that. Today is the last Sunday to give to that project. You think you can push us over the 3,000 mark? We're mighty close. So I invite you to give a gift today for that project as well. Look now at our prayer concern list in your bulletin. I'd ask you to be in prayer for the family of Billy Ann Allison. That's Betty Webb's sister who passed away this past week, and they had the funeral on Friday. So be in prayer for Betty and for her whole family. Continue to pray for Gianna, Jan Snell's sister's great-granddaughter. She is still on oxygen and still needs our prayers after her lung collapsed. This is a little baby. And also want to add to the prayer list, Bama King. Bama will be having knee replacement surgery at ARMC on Wednesday. So be in prayer for Bama on Wednesday and then for her recovery as well. Any other prayer concerns or praises that you'd like to mention today? Well, we can all join in praising the Lord for Jesus' resurrection from the dead. And there are lots of ways to do that, and we will do them all today. It's scripture and prayer. and song. Music is a great way to do that. So let us do that now, even as we hear the music, Hallelujah, Christ is Risen. Give thanks to God. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. Let me invite you now, as you're able, to stand together, and we'll join our voices in the call to worship. At dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and rolled back the stone and sat on it. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead." Let us pray. Gracious Father, glory be to you. On this day, you won victory over death, raising Jesus from the grave and giving us eternal life. And so, many, many years later and many miles away from the place where that originally happened, we gather here this day to give you all glory, honor, and praise, and to celebrate once again that indeed you have conquered sin, death, and the grave in a final way, so that we need not be afraid. So we join in that victory celebration this day, all to your glory, through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. Please be seated. As we approach the tomb of Jesus, a place of death, we become aware that we also bring with us our sins, ways in which we have walked in the ways of death and not life. So let us confess that to the Lord using the prayer of confession you'll find in your bulletin. Let us pray. Almighty God, in raising Jesus from the grave, you shattered the power of sin and death. We confess that we remain captive to doubt and fear, bound by the ways that lead to death. We overlook the poor and the hungry and pass by those who mourn. We are deaf to the cries of the oppressed and indifferent to calls for peace. We despise the weak and abuse the earth you made. Forgive us, God of mercy. Help us to trust your power to change our lives and make us new, that we may know the joy of life abundant given in Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. Amen. Scripture tells us, even while we were dead because of our sins, God gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead, for he raised us from the dead along with Christ. That is the good news of the gospel. Not just that there was someone a long time ago who got raised from the dead, but by faith we get joined with Christ. We become one with Christ so that what belongs to Christ belongs to us, and it is through him that we are completely forgiven. Amen. Invite all the children to come forward now and join me in the front for the children's sermon. As they're coming, greet someone maybe you haven't got a chance to speak to yet. Make sure you're glad. Tell them you're glad to see them today. You like that? Yeah. He doing okay? Good, good, good. Let me go. Ooh, thank you. Yeah, that's pretty. All right, it's great to see all of you today. If you want to come a little closer, I want you to be able to see what I've got here. Do you know what I've got here with me? You think these are some that I bought at the store that I was going to eat? No. Do you think these are some maybe that I colored or dyed certain colors? No. How many of you dyed eggs at your house? Yeah, a lot of you, I know, do that. No, this is something different. Each one of these eggs has a special way of telling the story of Jesus' death and resurrection for us. It actually starts last Sunday. You remember what last Sunday was? Let's see what's in the first egg. Donkey. You remember last Sunday was Palm Sunday, and we talked about Jesus riding on the donkey into Jerusalem. Yeah. Let's see what happens next in the story. See how many of these that you can figure out what they are. Let's see what's in this one. Uh-oh. What do you think that is? Yeah, some coins, some money. Where does that figure into Jesus' story? Do you remember? Well, yeah, I mean, there are other times, but at the end of Jesus' life, somebody was given some money. Yeah, somebody was given some money to tell them where Jesus was so they could come get him. You remember who betrayed Jesus? Starts with a J. Judas. Yeah, Judas. Yeah. Let's see what's in the next one. Oh, what is this? A cup. Where does that figure into Jesus' story? We got a cup right over here. We're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper today. When Jesus was with his disciples before he died, he took the cup and poured into them. He said, "This is my blood." Yeah, poured out for you. What's in the next egg? Oh, what is this? Can you tell? Praying hands. What? How does that fit into Jesus' story? You remember? After he met with his disciples, he went to a garden. And what did he do in the garden? He prayed. Yeah, he prayed. Jesus prayed. Okay, let's see. What's the next one? Oh, can you tell what this is? This is not a good one. Not a nice one. Can you tell what that is? Yeah, it's a stick. It's a... Carter, can you tell? No. This is a whip. Yeah. Do you know before they poured Jesus, before they put him to death, they whipped him. And that, you know, that hurt really bad. Yeah. Okay. Let's see what's next. Oh. What is this? A rooster? What is a rooster doing in these eggs? What does that have to do? A rooster doesn't lay eggs, does it? No. What does that have to do with the story? Yeah, remember Jesus told Peter, before the rooster crows twice you're going to deny me three times. So, yeah. All right, let's see what's in the next one. Can you tell what that is? Claire, exactly right. Crown of thorns Jesus wore on his head. Now, who wears a crown generally? Kings and princesses and queens, yeah. People that, but is this the kind of crown they wear? No, this is a crown that hurts. That's the kind of king Jesus was for us. He was willing to suffer for us, yeah. Now, what is this? It's a cross, but can you tell what makes the cross? Can you tell what it is? Yeah, they're nails. Yeah, they're two nails that make a cross to remind us how Jesus was nailed to the cross. Yeah. Okay. We'll get to the good part in just a minute. Okay, now, what about that? What is that? A spear. You know where that figures in the story? Well, a couple of things. There were Roman guards there, and they had spears. And one of them actually used his spear to make sure after Jesus died, to make sure that he was really dead. And actually, there was one Roman soldier who was there in charge of the other soldiers, and he had a spear. You know what he said after Jesus died? He said, "Surely this was the Son of God." He was convinced that Jesus really is who he said he was. He was the Son of God. And what is this? It's not paper.
It's a roll.
A roll? What? Yeah, it kind of looks like that, but it's supposed to be. Remember, we're kind of going through. After Jesus died, what did they do to his body? Yeah, they wrapped it up in cloth. And so that's like a cloth to remind us that they wrapped up Jesus' body. Yeah. And then what is this? Can you tell what this is?
A rock.
A rock. What is? There you go. Remember, they put Jesus' body in the tomb and they rolled a stone in front of it so that nobody could take it away. Did anybody take Jesus' body away? Did the soldiers take Jesus' body away? Did the disciples come and take his body away? No. Jesus rose by God's power, and he walked out of that grave. Now, there's only one egg left. You know what's in here? You ready? Last egg. Ready?
Yeah.
Do you know why there's nothing in the egg? Because when Jesus rose from the dead, they placed his body in the tomb, and then the tomb was empty. There's nothing in the tomb anymore because Jesus is alive. He's not there anymore. And that's the story of Easter, okay? Did you like that?
Yeah.
Okay, I think you learned some things too, all right? Let's have a prayer and thank God that Jesus is alive today, okay? You listen, I'll pray. Dear God, thank you for Easter, and thank you that Jesus is alive and that he loves us. In Jesus' name. All right, now don't go anywhere yet. Be still.
Now, if there's anybody fifth grade and under who's not up here and you want to go to an Easter egg hunt, or even, you know, some of you are like, I'm not in fifth grade, but can I go? But if you want, Brian, I know. Yeah. They're going to have an Easter egg hunt, okay? So if anybody else wants to join them, fifth grade and under, you can. But y'all can head out now this way.
Well, I read this past week about a Russian cargo plane that took off, and as it was taking off, inside the plane, it was filled with gold bars. And I don't know how it happened, but somehow they got loose and the door of the plane was open. Those gold bars started falling out of that plane. It was 172 gold bars weighing 3.4 tons, valued at over $15 million. Now, if you were on that runway, wouldn't you like to pick up it? I mean, I'm not greedy. I'll take just one, right? You know, wouldn't that be wonderful? Well, that would be a gift. We're talking about gifts today. Also reminds me of a book that I use in premarital counseling, Gary Chapman's best-selling book, Five Love Languages. Maybe some of you have read it or heard of it. He talks about that there are five love languages, five ways, specific ways that we give love and receive love. You know what they are? And you can kind of think about which, and I can give you a little test, and you can figure out which one is your love language, okay? The five are words of affirmation, somebody telling you what a great person you are, what great things you do, that kind of thing. Second is quality time. Somebody spending quality time with you where they are not distracted even by a phone. You know, they just look at you and don't look at anything else. That's rare today, right? Third is acts of service, where you actually do something. You wash somebody's car, cook a meal, do something that's an act of service to show your love. Fourth is physical touch. These are not in any certain order, but physical touch, that's one way to show love. And then the other one is receiving gifts. Now, I'll tell you that whenever I take that test, that's always low on my list. I'm not very good at picking out gifts. I will receive gifts. If somebody wants to give me one, I'm glad to receive them, but that's just not kind of the first way that I think about showing love. But today we're going to talk about the gifts of Easter, seven gifts of Easter. And what I'm going to do, and you can look in your bulletin, we're going to go through the list. You can kind of fill them in if you'd like. What I'm going to do is not just think about seven great things that God gives us. I mean, that's wonderful enough. But I'm talking about seven things that we would not have if it were not for Easter. God gives us other things too, but these are seven specific things that would not be ours were it not for Easter, okay? Number one is the church. Do you realize there would be no Christian church without the resurrection? It is the defining doctrine of Christianity, unlike any other world religion. In fact, no other world religion stands or falls on just one doctrine like Christianity does on the resurrection of Jesus. Now, there are, in my opinion, too many Christian denominations. Do you realize that there are over 10,000 just Protestant denominations in the world today? I don't think we need more than that. But every Christian group, all of those, plus every Eastern Orthodox Christian, Roman Catholic Christian, Pentecostal Christian, Reformed Christian, all of them believe one simple truth, and that is that Jesus' tomb was empty. Now, what a great experience it was for me and for some of you to go this past May to Jerusalem. And we got to go to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, which is a traditional site of Jesus' tomb. And actually, as a group, we got to go there and to walk through and see they have lots of different places there that you can see. But the place where you can go in and actually see the rock remains of the tomb was, the line was too long and our group was too large and we couldn't go in there. So Emily and I, one morning, got up early when we had a little extra time and we walked the streets of Jerusalem. We didn't have a bodyguard, didn't have anybody with us, just the two of us. We walked the streets of Jerusalem, had to find the Church of the Holy Sepulchre on our own, just from the map. We didn't have a guide with us. We found it. We actually got there and got back. But we walked in there, and it was early enough in the morning that there was not that long line, and we were able to go in there and see those rock remains. Now, I do not stake my faith on whether or not those rock remains are the actual place where Jesus' body was actually put, okay? But it was certainly in that area. It's close enough for me. And to be there and to see that, but you don't have to see that to know that it's true and that it's real and that Christians through the centuries have believed in it and laid their lives down for that simple fact that Jesus' tomb is empty and that Jesus is alive. You think about the church as it began. Think about Jesus chose 12 special followers to follow him. Remember that? They followed him on his three-year ministry on the earth. He told them that he was going to leave them, but he would not leave them alone. He'd give them the Holy Spirit. Then in the end, one of the 12, as I told the children, the treasurer of the group, so, you know, watch out for those church treasurers. One of those actually betrayed Jesus, took the money and betrayed Jesus. And then another one of those, the loudmouth of the group, so watch out for loud mouths in the church too. The loud mouth of the group, Peter, of course, denied three times that, you know, he even knew who Jesus was. So he only had 12, and now two of them are already turning their backs on him, and actually the rest of them fled as well. Well, Jesus then was put to death. He was buried. Yes, he rose from the grave on Sunday, but then the disciples were still afraid. You know what they did? They gathered together, but you know what they did? They locked all the doors. They were security conscious. They locked all the doors because they were afraid that somebody would come in there. They took Jesus. They took him off and killed him. They might come and get us next. What's going to happen? And one of them even said, he wasn't there when Jesus appeared to them. And Thomas, one of them said, I'm not even going to believe it unless I see it for myself. Of course, later on he did. But just to give you an idea of the kind of people that Jesus chose and their state of mind, even after Jesus' resurrection. Now, does this sound like a group that's going to take the gospel around the world and that this gospel is going to be strong even for 2,000 years? No. It sounds like from that story that there's not going to be much to this church. And yet what happened? Jesus did give them the Holy Spirit. They did proclaim the gospel boldly. They did, many of them, lay down their lives for the fact that Jesus was alive. So the church is a great gift to us because of the resurrection. Secondly, second gift, a demonstration of Jesus' deity. A demonstration of Jesus' deity. In Romans 1, Paul writes, Jesus was appointed the Son of God in power. How? By his resurrection from the dead. Jesus had been saying some things during his ministry that indicated that he was either Lord of all or crazy. He'd been saying things like, I and the Father are one, or before Abraham was centuries ago, I am. How could he prove all that, though? Well, on three separate occasions, he told his disciples how he was going to prove it. I'm going to go to Jerusalem, I'm going to be put to death, but 3 days later, I'm going to rise from the dead. Now, if that didn't happen, then indeed he was a liar, and that would have been the end of that. But in fact, it did happen. It did come true. And so that demonstrated Jesus really is God. He really is who he said he was. Then the third gift of Easter is justification. Justification. You are declared innocent before God. Now, that sounds like something that would happen in a courtroom, right? Well, that's exactly right. What does that have to do with Jesus' resurrection? If I ask you to name what is the one event that sealed your justification. You might would say Jesus' death on the cross. Well, that's certainly part of it. But Paul says in Romans 4, Jesus was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. The way that we get declared innocent by God the judge is because Jesus rose from the dead. The resurrection vindicates Jesus. He was demonstrating to the world that he was innocent of all the charges against him, that he was the promised Messiah. George Herbert, in his poem, The Call, written long ago in 1633, says this. Listen to this, playing on the words that Jesus said in John 14:6. Come, my way, my truth, my life, such a way as gives us breath, such a truth as ends all strife, such a life as killeth death. Jesus is the life, and his life is the kind of life that kills death. That is the gift of Easter. Fourth gift, Jesus is with you today. You realize that? You may have come alone, but you're not completely alone. Jesus is with you today. Here's a gift that's not just for the sweet by and by, but for the nasty now and now, which is where most of us live. You are not alone. Jesus is with you right now. And he couldn't be that if he were still in a tomb in Israel. A hero is great to have, but a dead hero in a grave is just an inspiration. It can be a wonderful inspiration, but just an inspiration, not a personal presence like Jesus has promised. A risen Christ can give us confidence that he is still with us. Remember what he promised? I am with you always to the very end of the age. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. So Jesus is alive means that Jesus is with you, even today. The fifth gift of Easter is hope beyond the grave. Now you might be thinking, well, Steve, that all sounds great and it's wonderful for you to say all that stuff on Easter Sunday. But Christians still die. Cancer and heart disease still claim their victims. What good is it if Jesus rose from the dead and I believe in Jesus, but then I have to die too? Jesus talked about that even before his death. He said in John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, listen to what he said, those who believe in me, even though they die like everyone else. See, Jesus admitted that. Even though they die like everyone else, those who believe in me will live again. Those who believe in me will never die. And then he said to Martha, do you believe this? Is this life, with all that is involved in this life, is this life now the end? It sure looks that way. This morning, I started the day in a cemetery. Kind of a weird way to start, but I went to the Easter sunrise service at Historic Providence Christian Church on Main Street in Graham. Some of us gathered there at the cemetery. I took a moment while I was there to look around at, you know, some of the names there and some of the dates, and some of them that cemetery has been there since the 1700s, so some of them are from long ago. And, you know, I've kind of thought about, I wonder if some of these people are even remembered by anybody. You know, have their families all gone and kind of forgotten, and here are their names and their dates. Are they even remembered by this time? And then it made me think, well, what about me? You know, here I am living my life stressing over all the things that I'm trying to get done and trying to take care of. And then one day it's going to be over, and given enough time, people won't even remember me. You know, you've got all the former pastors and their pictures and names and dates out in the hallway. But I know how I've stood out there with some of you, and some of you, let's see here now, who was here when I came? I don't remember his name, but yeah, that's going to be me one day. My name will be forgiven enough time. It'll happen to all of us. But is that all there is to life? Is there hope beyond the grave? Is there life beyond the grave? Easter tells us, yes, there is. In fact, Paul wrote to the Thessalonians who were grieving and wondering about people who had already died. He said, Yes, grieve, but not without hope. And what is our hope? In Titus we read, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. You see, if Jesus were not alive, if he were not coming back, we would not have that hope. Then the sixth gift of Easter is the unity of believers. The unity of believers. Now that might sound like a strange one to you, but here's how it works. By faith, we are in Christ. We are united to Christ. So this is me and this is Christ. I'm united to Christ. I'm one with him. But it's not just me and Jesus. It's that all of us, by faith, are united together into Christ. So not only does that mean that I'm connected to Christ, that means by faith I'm connected to you and you're connected to me. We're connected together. And so every Christian experiences this same miraculous, godlike, life-giving force that raised Jesus from the dead, and we experience it together. In Ephesians 1, we read, his incomparably great power is at work in us who believe. That power is the same mighty strength that God exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand. Do you realize that? Now, I know it's hard to believe. It's hard for me to believe. But you realize the same power that Almighty God used to bring Jesus from death to life is the same power that is at work in you and me. Now, it doesn't seem that way many days, and it seems like that I have taken God's power, as it were, and turned it down from 10 to 0 or whatever, that it's because of my weakness that it's not, that God's power is not. But that power is still there, and that power is still working in us and working in us together to bring us together, the unity of believers. And then the seventh gift of Easter, this is not the end. This is not the end. Listen to the news of the day. People are starving. Diseases are taking lives. Nations are at war. Guns are killing people. The resources of our planet are being abused. Families are divided. People are devalued and judged as not worth as much because they're not like somebody else. Is that the family of God? Is that the kingdom of God that Jesus promised to us? No, that's a disappointment and at times a disaster. But the good news is that is not the end. Because of the resurrection, Jesus is still alive today and will one day return to this earth and set all those things right so that they don't stay like they are now. We read in Acts 17, God has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. Who's the man that God will use to judge the world? Who's the only one who is righteous enough? Who is the one that God has proven that's the man by raising him from the dead? It is our Savior, Jesus Christ. Friends, this is not the end. So, do you like gifts? What gifts do you want today? Do you want a chocolate bunny? Do you want a beautiful spring-like basket? Do you want a free lunch at a nice restaurant or at Mother's Table? Well, let me tell you, all those things can be great, but let me tell you about seven gifts that surpass them all, these seven gifts of Easter. Why are they better than those things? Because they will last forever. They will never fail you. Friends, let us rejoice in this Easter Sunday. It's not just because we have wonderful music and we're here together and we enjoy it. It's more than that. It's about Jesus being alive and that power being at work in us. All to the glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, let me invite you to prepare to come to the Lord's table and to receive a sign and seal of God's love for you that is different from anything else. As we stand together, as you're able, and sing the hymn you'll find in your bulletin, I Come With Joy.
I come with joy to meet my
Please be seated. Let us pray. Gracious God, on this very special day, this Easter Sunday, we are thankful that indeed we have hope even beyond the circumstances in our lives right now that might be ripping us apart or tearing us down. That we have hope even beyond those because our hope is in you. And we believe that indeed Jesus came to this earth and died for us, paid the price for our sins, but then he did not remain dead. He rose triumphantly from the grave. We thank you that indeed he was willing to choose disciples even though they failed him many times. We can identify with that. But he chose disciples to follow him, and indeed on the night before his death he got them together and prepared them. And in the midst of the meal he broke bread and gave it to them saying, "This is my body, do this in remembrance of me." The same way also after supper he took the cup saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood poured out for the forgiveness of many. All of you drink of it. For as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again for us." So Lord, it is in great hope that we partake together of this meal today. Through Jesus Christ, our living Savior. Amen. Indeed, that night Jesus broke bread and offered it to his disciples. He said, "Take, eat, this is my body. Do this in remembrance of me." We invite you as you serve the bread to hold that, and then we will partake together all at once. Remember the unity of believers. We are sisters and brothers in Christ together, and so we'll partake at one time, reminding ourselves of that. Then as you serve the cup, we invite you to partake of that individually, reminding us that indeed we each respond to God's offer of grace one person at a time. This is the risen Lord's table. Come and receive God's gifts. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Those who come to me will never hunger. Those who believe in me will never thirst. Jesus said, this is my body. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, also after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, this cup is new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins. All of you, drink of it. Let us pray. Oh Lord, it is with thanksgiving that we come to you now. We've shared this simple meal together. We have remembered that Jesus gave his all for us. That indeed he loved us with a love so deep and so wide that he was willing to give his very life for us, that we might know you, that our sins might be forgiven, that indeed we might have hope in the midst of despair, hope for the future, hope beyond this life as we know it. So we thank you for our risen Savior, Jesus, even as we give you all praise, honor, and glory through his name, and pray together the prayer that he taught his followers to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Let us now respond to God's love and grace to us in generosity in the gifts that we present to God's glory.
Oh, Lord, we bring our greatest alleluias to the sacred name of Jesus Christ, our risen Savior. Lord, take these gifts and use them to bring honor and glory to your name in all kinds of ways, in all kinds of places, even beyond what we might even imagine. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You'll notice that after the benediction, the choir will be singing the Hallelujah Chorus, and they would love for you to help them. If anybody would like to come, I've got the music. I'll be glad to give the music to you. If you'd like to come and join the choir for the Hallelujah Chorus, please come forward during this hymn. And now all glory, honor, and praise be to our risen Savior, Jesus Christ, now and forevermore. Hallelujah. Amen.